Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Thanks for listening. Melanie Davis is a wonderful singer-songwriter from Murray, Kentucky, whose writing is imbued with intense passion, wrapped in beautiful harmonies. She and her partner, Fate McAfee, are performing at Cincinnati's Listing Loon on September 11th, and I thought you might enjoy getting to know a bit more about her and her music before the show. Melanie Davis, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So you are from the Murray, Kentucky area.
Yes, I am.
And what do you do there?
Well, a couple different things. I'm a musician at night, and then during the day, I work at the local NPR affiliate over there in Western Kentucky. I work at a liquor store, and I also teach lessons.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, guitar, voice, piano.
So have you been a musician, pretty much your whole life?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I grew up around a musical family, so that helped. But I've always been writing songs, and I started piano when I was real young. And I studied voice in college, so it's been a constant for sure.
You have a new album coming out called Allegoria, is that correct?
Yes.
When or has that already been released?
The goal is for Allegoria to be released in January. I'm just getting all of the finishing touches done up right now, and then hopefully it'll all be done, pressed up on the streaming services and all that good stuff in January.
Is this your first actual album, or have you been recording for a while?
I've been recording for a while. This is the first one that's actually been in a studio. Everything else has been home recordings. So yeah, as far as being as legit as I possibly can, this is the first one.
How was that experience for you, recording in the studio with the capital S for the first time?
It was a lot of fun. I had the help of my friends who are also musicians. Some of them are bandmates, and they were nice enough to make the two-hour drive down to Nashville and be my second, third, fourth set of ears. I recorded at Welcome to 1979, which is just this killer studio. Everything, as soon as you walk in, it's like you literally did walk into the 70s. So it was kind of like a kid in a candy shop getting to actually record my music there.
So I'm guessing that it's all pretty much vintage equipment, analog equipment.
Yep, we actually got to use like plate reverb, and we saw the plate that it was being used with. It wasn't just a digital effect. So it was very, very neat for sure.
How important to you as a musician was it to get that, authentic warm sound?
I'm slowly getting my ears accustomed to these tonal changes. And so when I first started out, I didn't really think there was much need for it. If you could make do with something digital and fake it till you make it type thing, that would work. But the more I start to, hear the differences in my music and see how it is relating more to sort of those old recordings and older 60s and 70s artists that I look up to so much, it is very nice to see my music sort of evolve towards that. And it was all recorded on tape, which was a lot of fun to hear the tape machine start to whir up as soon as the tape started. It was nice. It was almost like stepping into a time machine,
Tell me, if you can, about some of the musicians that appear on your album.
Yeah. The lead guitarist is Fate McAfee. He does all of the lead guitar parts on the album, and he's my partner. We've been writing and performing together for about a year and a half now, and he did a great job making parts that were able to dance around the melodies that I was making with my voice. So I thought it worked together really well. And then the harmonies on the album, they are all done by my bandmates. I'm in a trio called the Black Eyed Susan. And those singers are Kayla Little and Stephanie Ray. So they're on soprano, alto. Sometimes they switch it up. And then everything else, the piano, percussion, I actually did all that.
And on Wednesday, September 11th, you are coming to Cincinnati to play at the Listing Loon. Have you ever played Cincinnati before?
I have, under a different project. I used to be in a duo called Cruel Waves, and we played, that was a while ago, maybe 2016. With this project, with this album, it'll be my first time coming back to Cincinnati with it.
If you don't mind, I'd like to take a quick listen to one of your songs. If this is okay with you, I want to play a song from the upcoming Allegoria release. The song that really caught my mind was Sophie. I have a theory about this song, but I want to hear from you. What is this song about and see if I'm right?
Okay. This song is actually about Sophie Scholl. So she was an activist. She was in the White Rose group that was spreading anti-Nazi pamphlets and things like that around the university in Germany. And she got caught and was executed by the government. And she said a lot of different things, and lots of inspirational moments happened within her very short life. I mean, she died when she was younger than I am now, and I'm 24. And there was one quote that always stuck with me that was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, "Such a fine and sunny day and I must go, but what does it matter when these powers that be are still in place? My life is being lost, but this is a step towards something bigger than me." And I got goosebumps thinking of it now. That's an insanely brave and bigger than yourself picture to have as a 20-year-old. And so it always inspired me. So that's what Sophie is about.
Well, that's amazing. This is the song Sophie by Melanie Davis from the upcoming album Allegoria.
Such a fun and sunny day, I must go. Doesn't matter anyway, this I now know. Blue skies are free to take me, 'cause I think I prefer to be free. The government, she's
listening to this album, the whole thing from beginning to end is pretty socially and politically charged. How important are these causes to you?
Very important, I would say. The first track that it was sort of the pinnacle around what everything else was going to be. I actually wrote that track in November of 2016 after the results were aired and we all had a new reality to sort of step into. There was a women's march that was held in Murray. It went from campus to town square. And I played that song there, and just the collective feeling of everybody sort of responding in that way, and me knowing that I wasn't just some crazy person complaining about the government. You know, other people were scared and they were concerned about their future and their children's future. And I liked being able to connect to people in that way through my music. So just more and more political songs started to come from that. And then it just turned into a whole album.
Well, and then you have a song on there called I Don't Really Care, Do You, which is obviously a reference to the First Lady. And you don't pull any punches. You just straight out tell it how it is and how you feel about it. How able do you feel that you are to make a change or to make a difference?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I feel like pretty much everybody is dealing with that change. No matter which way you lean, it's kind of how am I going to see the changes I want to have happen? Mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to do to be a part in that? And it's difficult to not become cynical. I wanted this album to be released in 2020 because there's another election coming up, and I know that it's going to be a tumultuous time. You know, a lot of people are going to feel very strongly about a lot of different things. You know, music is a bit, not to sound cheesy, but it's a bit more universal of a concept, and people tend to open their ears a little bit, and in doing so, open their hearts in a way. And so I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if this album will be the thing that turns it all around. I'm not cocky enough to assume that at all. But it is, if I can get people to empathize more and see things, you know, it's not just all us versus them. Like, we are a collective, and, you know, it's up to all of us to give a little bit more of ourselves in whatever way that means. To help your fellow person and to stand up for what's right, not change your morals just because that's what a current administration is encouraging you to do. So that's sort of what I'm trying to get at with my music, just getting people to empathize, see the other side if they can.
What I also notice, and obviously this album is still being assembled, but you do a really wonderful job of cradling some of these more outspoken songs like I Don't Really Care, Do You, or Sophie, or other songs that have this more, I don't want to say negative, but a very powerful emotional response kind of songs. But you surround them with other very positive reinforcing songs like Sisters, which is, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like a very pro-women, feminism, sisterhood kind of anthem. And I think it's important to keep that mentality of like, okay, things kind of are rough right now, but we're all in this together.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, I didn't want to just, I had one track on the album that was just kind of, it was a little too angry. It sort of, it yelled with no means to an end. There was no solution to it. It was just like, I am mad and here's a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem to fit the idea, because yeah, like you said, it's tough right now, but we can't give into those feelings of despair. Well, there's nothing I can do, so I'll settle for apathy and just see where it ends up. We gotta believe in something. There has to be a reason for pushing against what we don't agree in, what we don't believe in.
Sure, but sometimes it's good to get those, you know, just raw cathartic moments out. Do you ever play that song live, that one that's not included?
I do. Sometimes it sort of depends on the room. It's a little bit of an angry perspective. Just as a musician, you know, you can struggle with feeling like, you know, you're trying to say something and you play one bar after the next where people are like, well, I don't want to hear this. I want to hear the same five songs, you know. And so when I wrote that song, I was sort of struggling with that idea because I haven't been playing out very long at all, probably just over 3 years. So I do play it, but not if I have an attentive crowd. It's kind of, it defeats the purpose because it's like, oh, well, no, wait, you guys are paying attention. Never mind.
In your experience, have you ever had someone give you some pushback after a show and said, hey, that song was a little, you know, a little much, or I disagree with you, or anything like that?
Nobody has actually come up to me after a show. Thank goodness. I do live in Western Kentucky, so I have had those concerns sometimes about, you know, certain venues. I probably shouldn't get too open about the way I feel politically, because in the moment, you know, I'm entertaining a bar crowd. It's not wildly pertinent to bring it up and put that feel into the room. But I have had, now that people around the area have started to notice it more and notice a theme in my music, before they book me, they'll specifically request for me not to say those things and to not include those songs, not even bring it up.
How do you feel about that?
So that, well, you know, I'm working with people who are working for a business, so they're trying to not rock the boat.
Yeah.
As a musician, I sort of have the privilege of rocking the boat and being like, well, I'm a folk singer. What's the point if I don't? You know, if they ask politely, which everyone has so far, they've all been, you know, like, I agree with you. I get it. I support it. But I can't guarantee that my higher-ups will support it. I'm very understanding of that. And in a way, you know, it's kind of cool, because it's like, wow, I'm saying so much that I need a disclaimer in my booking. I guess I am saying something meaningful in some way or another.
And people are paying attention.
Yeah.
So again, like we said, you're playing The Listing Loon, September 11th.
Yes.
And you mentioned your partner, Fate McAfee, is coming with
yes.
you. Tell me a bit about his music.
Fate has been playing out for much longer than I have. He has this really great blend of, you know, Americana influences. He has a lot of history listening to John Prine, Townes Van Zandt. So that sort of, you know, Appalachian finger picking paired with really thoughtful and beautiful lyricism, that's sort of Fate's bread and butter. He has a new album out as well that is called Diesel Palomino. We'll be playing as a duo at the Listing Loon. I play guitar on his stuff and vice versa, and we have some duets that we perform together but haven't recorded yet. So he'll have some copies of Diesel Palomino at the show. I've always been a fan of Fate's music. We've ran around the same circles. We're from the same place for so long. And I feel like we both like to focus. The poetry is there, the music, the melodies are there as well, and we try not to let one or the other slip off.
Murray State is there, so obviously Murray is a bit of a college town. How well are you received around the college area?
I mean, I've been really lucky around here. I moved to Murray in 2014. That's when I started going to college, and I graduated in 2018. And, you know, you wouldn't think it if you're not from the area, but Western Kentucky is a little treasure trove of musicians. There's so many talented people here, and they all want to help people who are entering the scene. You know, I just started, and I've been able to play out regularly, have people, other musicians who support me. So it's been really nice. I know I'm extraordinarily lucky to have the situation that I do, because not every town is like that. Murray is very accommodating to musicians.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Is there another song that you want to play so we can listen to while we exit?
Oh, yes. I think I would like to listen to Memory.
Okay. Tell me about that song.
Okay. So Memory was actually inspired. I went on a trip with my parents to Italy, and we visited this ancient port town. It was kind of like another Pompeii, but closer to the sea. And it was around before Jesus Christ was around. And so the only idea of an afterlife that this community had was just being remembered. So they kept the ashes of their loved ones in these special urns and these carved out cabinets of their homes. And so the afterlife for them, the heaven, the hell, whichever one you believe in, was just this cognitive idea. And I always thought that was a beautiful concept, that no matter if you're a Christian or an atheist, agnostic, whatever, you could sort of get behind in a way. And so that's what this song is about, Memory.
This is the song Memory from Melanie Davis from her upcoming album, Allegoria. Melanie, thanks very much for taking some time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. My thanks to Melanie Davis, who joined me by phone to provide a preview of her upcoming Cincinnati performance Wednesday, September 11th at the Listing Loon in Northside. To find out more about Melanie, her music, and her upcoming album Allegoria, you can always find links at our home, which is wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. This episode was recorded and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The theme music for this episode is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. Find out more at freemusicarchive.com. Until next time.